My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. The gospel story is a pretty strange one. In fact, it's the most difficult parable of Jesus in the Bible. And I always hate when it comes up in the lectionary. Even scholars don't understand it. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Many scholars think that part of it is missing. It contains ethics that we don't identify with Jesus. But there is one thing clear in the gospel lesson, and that is verse 13. You cannot serve both God and wealth. So, since we are beginning our annual stewardship emphasis today, I want to focus instead on stewardship of the earth. And I do think it ties into Luke 16:13, where it says, you cannot serve both God and wealth. Because God's gift of the earth, our planet, and our home is hurting because of short-term decisions humanity has made about production of chemicals and plastics and fossil fuels to make our lives more convenient. We have chosen those over our God-given responsibility to serve and care for the earth. I believe we have been silent for much too long in the church, probably for fear that this issue touches on politics, to speak up about what's happening to our earth. But we as Christians have known about the need to care for creation long before it became a political issue. When I was a little girl, we talked about caring for the earth and taking care of creation. In Genesis 1:28, it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. That's been in the Bible a long time. Unfortunately, for many years, the church was complicit in viewing this text as a reason to dominate the earth, to use and abuse it, instead of to care for it. And that's actually a misinterpretation of the Hebrew word for dominion. The Hebrew word actually means to care for and keep it. So we are to be earth keepers, to serve and preserve God's creation. By God's grace, we have been given this gift of the earth. And because of God's grace, we are free to respond to God's generosity in giving us creation. We have a response ability. We have the ability to respond, to take action so that the gift God has given us is not abused. Just this week, I had the opportunity to drive over to Huff Park to take a little break at supper time. I had been having kind of an off day and having trouble focusing, and so before evening meetings, I drove over there just to relax a little bit. And at the edge of the forest there, where my car was, I saw some movement in the forest there, and I looked up and two does and three fawns came out of the woods, and they were just feeding there. And it was just a grace-filled moment. They were so beautiful, and it just made my day. It is our job to take care of these creatures that God has given. Later in the week, on my day off, I drove down to the Michigan-Indiana border to meet a cousin of mine that I hadn't seen in 10 years, and her husband had died recently. So we had a nice lunch, and then as I was driving back, I stopped at the Warren Dunes, and just sat by the edge of the water, took a walk along the beach, and again, just the beauty is breathtaking right here in our backyard. There was a monarch butterfly that was flitting around by my feet. Did you know that the American monarch butterfly population has shrunk by 90% in the last two decades? It saddens me. I want my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren to be able to see the beauty of these butterflies after I'm gone. The earth is warming. That is science, and it is true whether we want to hear it or not. There is tons of proof. And most of us know of the warning from the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change last year, I think it was 2018, that unless we keep global warming levels under 1.5 degrees centigrade, there will be drastic changes on our planet. And it has already risen 1 degree of that 1.5 degrees centigrade. Climate change is happening. It's not coming. It's here. And we have all seen pictures of the polar ice caps melting, and the jet stream has changed so that we have all these, we have this drought in California and all these wildfires each year, which we didn't used to see. We had the worst winter I can remember this last winter with the polar vortex thing happening here. This is climate change. Europe had its hottest July, hottest summer. And while our month of July wasn't as bad as last year, the overall temperature of the world was hotter in July than any other time. The hottest July, I'm sorry, on record. Ocean warming is responsible for the monster hurricanes that we're seeing developing in the Caribbean. I feel like I'm Chicken Little saying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. I've never been that kind of person. I've never jumped on things quickly. But this isn't quickly. We've known this for 20 years. We've just kept our head in the sand. Last week, I went to Trinity Lutheran to watch a National Geographic video on global warming called Paris to Pittsburgh. It's being shown tonight at 6:30 again at Trinity, and I'm hoping we can borrow it and show it here. As I watched the video, the first thing that surprised me in the film was footage of South Beach, Miami, Florida. How many of you have been there? Have some of you seen South Beach? Okay. I was there 10 years ago, and you had to walk about a quarter of a mile across the beach down to the water, and it was just really gorgeous, really beautiful. In this footage, the water is up to the palm trees on the park along the boulevard there. I was just stunned. The water is rising, and it will rise more. The state of Florida is especially concerned about saltwater levels coming up in the Everglades because the Everglades provide one-third of the fresh drinking water in the state of Florida. Yes, there's innovations to help prevent this from happening, but if we don't reduce the global warming, the state of Florida, much of New York City, Boston, the East Coast, will be underwater. Maybe not in our lifetimes, but maybe shortly thereafter. The city of Orlando is already preparing for mass migration of people from Miami up to Orlando. I didn't know that. Global warming, as most of you know, is primarily caused by emissions from fossil fuels warming the atmosphere, what they call greenhouse gases. Scientists say we need to cut man-made carbon levels by 45% by 2030, 10 years from now. Even then, there will still be some negative effects. We need to reach net zero carbon levels by 2050, 30 years from now. Yet, we continue to subsidize fuel companies, fossil fuel companies, so that they can make profits. This is where our gospel comes back in. You cannot serve both God and wealth. Gross consumerism and greed are sin. We cannot continue to allow the wealth and profit from fossil fuel emissions to destroy God's earth while serving the interests of certain powerful groups. And it will cost every one of us, especially in America, where we seem to think that we have the right to own gas-guzzling cars and trucks while it hurts our neighbors around the world. You know, I looked at the verses to the first song we sang this morning, and we talk about let us sing love to the nations, bring hope of the grace that has freed us. How do we sing love to the nations and bring hope of the grace that has freed us? Last winter, I had the good fortune to hear a speaker at the Calvin series, Mary Robinson, who was the former president of Ireland and recently was chair of the Elders, which is a group of world leaders at the UN that was formed by Nelson Mandela. So she followed Nelson Mandela as chair. And she wrote a little book called Climate Justice, which contains stories of people throughout the world who have experienced climate change firsthand. These are our neighbors. This is where this ties together. Climate change hits poor regions of the earth disproportionately to the amount of carbon they use. If you're in Africa, you don't drive a car. A lot of them don't, in sub-Saharan Africa. They don't have as much manufacturing and so on, and yet they are experiencing the devastating effects of climate change. In Uganda, since 2007, there have been tremendous rainfalls followed by extreme drought. A woman named Constance noted the dramatic and uncharacteristic changes. She's a fourth-generation farmer. And Constance knew that the rainy season in eastern Uganda usually lasted from February to April, and then the rains came back from October to November. From June through September, she harvested her crops of maize, sorghum, and millet. In September 2007, heavy rain and flash flooding descended on Constance's village. And during that year, 22 African countries experienced the worst wet seasons in decades, and devastating rains affecting over 1.5 million people, our neighbors. After the flood that destroyed everything, there was very little food, there was no clean water to drink in Constance's village. The people got cholera and diarrhea. And because of the standing flood water, there were lots of mosquitoes, and her family members became ill with malaria. After a couple years of this, the people in the village were asking, "Why is this happening to us? Is God punishing us?" In the spring of 2009, Constance was invited to come to a meeting of the organization Oxfam. Some of you may know of that organization, and to tell her story. This was the first time she heard the word climate change. She said, "I learned that overpollution from developed countries had caused real changes in the climate. I felt bad because I knew the people in developed countries are our friends. We are the same people. We have the same blood. But these people were enjoying their life while we were suffering. I wanted to know why they were doing this to us. I wanted to know whether the people in developed countries could reduce their emissions so that we could have our normal seasons back. Will we? That's the question. The good news is there's much we can do. We have the ability to respond. There is still time, but we need to work together in unity to reduce carbon emissions. Mary Robinson reminded us that when JFK said they were going to put a man, or the U.S. would put a man on the moon, we did it in 8 years. Everybody worked together toward that goal. Those of you who were around then, like me, remember that. Everyone was focused on a common goal. We can do this again. We have the power. We have the technology. The price of renewable energy has come down drastically. I was amazed to find out by watching the film at Trinity that many Iowa farms, dairy farms, have gone solar. 37% of the state of Iowa uses renewable energy, wind and solar. If every state could come to that level, that 37% level, we would reach the goal of 1.5 degrees centigrade by 2030. 17,000 new jobs were created in Iowa in renewable energy. Apple, Facebook, and Microsoft all moved to Iowa to use renewables. Renewable energy builds an economy. It creates jobs. Of course, there will need to be programs for those who lose jobs as carbon emissions are reduced. Does everyone know who Greta Thunberg is? Everybody heard of Greta Thunberg? The 16-year-old girl who has come over from Sweden to talk to the United Nations tomorrow about climate change. She led the strike on Friday, the climate strike on Friday. I'll get it right, the climate youth strike on Friday. And some of our youth, I bet, were involved with that. 400 million people worldwide, is it 4 million? Okay. Yeah, okay. Anyway, a lot of people took part in that worldwide, and there were 250,000 people in New York City alone who took part in the youth climate change strike. Greta says, be creative. There is so incredibly much you can do. Don't underestimate yourself. No one is too small to make an impact and change the world. And that's where the idea of the children's sermon came from. None of us are too small. She suggests taking the monies that are currently used to subsidize the fossil fuel industry and use it toward natural solutions. On the video that she will share tomorrow morning with the United Nations, a journalist, George Mann, says, there's a magical machine that sucks carbon out of the air that costs very little and builds itself. You know what that machine is? Trees. Yeah, trees. Martin Luther said, if I knew the world were going to end tomorrow, I would plant a tree. He was right on. We do have to be concerned about the fires in the Amazon. Those trees are the lungs of the earth. Protect, restore, fund is Greta's advice. Everything counts. God loves the creation, and we are called by God to take care of it. And we have not been very good stewards over the last 50 years. By God's grace, we have a chance to do better. to partner with God in restoring it. We have the power of the living God behind us. God has a vision for the world that is beyond our limited vision, one in which the earth is comforted, the sea and all that is in it roars, the mountains and the fields exult, and the trees clap their hands in joy. We wait with eager longing for that day. And in the meantime, we use our own creative energies to love and care for God's creation. Amen.